Well, I have spent most of my time this year in Proverbs and Psalms and learned a lot from both books. Proverbs is a very, I really enjoyed Proverbs because it's so easily applicable, and it was also very convicting about a lot of my heart attitudes. But I thought today I'd talk about some of the Psalms that I've been reading. I think that this year there's been a lot of temptation for me to be very frustrated and angry. I'm a very black and white kind of person, and I have a very strong sense of justice. And so there's been a lot of things this year that have, made me upset. And not just, some of the political things going on in our country, but also just some of the, some stuff that's gone on in my family and some stuff that's gone on at work, just cases where I felt like people who were clearly guilty were released and that justice was not done for the victims. And so I found a lot of comfort and peace in the Psalms and found that they helped me deal with those emotions. I think and kind of focus them in a godly way where I could still acknowledge what I was feeling and still find a way to express them, but in a way that the Bible says that I should express them. For example, one of those Psalms that I've been memorizing is Psalm 10, which is all about David's frustration with the wicked victimizing the helpless and seeming to get away with it. And the psalm is all about David praying that God would bring justice and that God would save the people that were being victimized. And I found that psalms like that were really helpful for me to be able to express my frustration, but also do it in a way that the Bible says that I should do it. And I found it comforting that I can talk to God and tell him that I'm upset and that I don't understand what's going on, and that the Bible says that I can do that and still do it in a trustful way, but still be honest with God about what I'm feeling, because God knows what I'm feeling anyways. But I just found that really helpful to me to find some comfort and peace in what I was seeing and what was going on. And I've actually experienced a great deal of peace, especially I'd say the latter part of the year, through reading these psalms and using them as prayers. It's really been comforting and brought me a lot of peace, which I'm thankful for. The one psalm I wanted to read together here is one that I've also memorized. It's Psalm 37. I think I want to read verses 1 through 11. I think that's where I wanted to stop. So, thank you. So, what are some of the things that we see in these verses about what David says we should do when we are upset because it seems like there's evil going on and people are getting away with things, and that maybe God isn't paying attention to what people are getting away with and what they're able to do? What are some of these things that David tells us to do?
Do not fret or be envious of them.
The biggest thing is just to trust that what God is doing, trust in him.
Yeah. Yeah. That reminds me of the verse that Jason read yesterday from 1 Thessalonians about just working and minding your own affairs.
Also, his advice is to refrain from anger. To not get yourself worked up over Joel.
Yeah. That's a good one, I think, to keep in balance with some of the other psalms, like Psalm 10, that, I think they should be kept in balance. Obviously, Psalm 10 is in the Bible, so God wants us to read it and use it as a prayer, but we are also not supposed to only read Psalm 10 and just dwell in our anger and our frustration. To fret, which I think is more of a continuing attitude, fretting is. I don't know, do any of you other guys have thoughts about how verse 8 and Psalms like Psalm 10 can kind of be how we can live applying both verses? And I think kind of along those lines, that ties into what you shared earlier this week about also realizing that we need to repent and be watchful of our own hearts. Those psalms have helped me feel a lot of peace, is because when I pray them, you're right, it feels like, okay, I got that off my chest. I expressed what I needed to express to God, and now God can take care of what he's going to do. What do you think it means to delight yourself in the Lord? Part of it is probably is trusting in the attributes of God and just delighting to learn more about those, how God is good, how he's merciful, that he extends his loving kindness to the third and fourth generation. Just delighting ourselves in those attributes of God, and also that he will, bring justice and judgment on wickedness. What does it say about the humble and the meek who trust God? What will happen to them? I think there was probably more earthly application to that statement, maybe in the Old Testament times, where God had made promises that if you obey me and follow me, you will have this physical, specific land. We don't have that promise as a worldwide church. I think ours is more heavenly. In the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Well, I just wanted to, as we close here, just wanted to share a way that Grace Ann and I have seen verse 4 come to life and apply in our lives. I don't think that this should be read as a sort of as a formula that if I love God enough, he will give me all the luxuries and comforts that I want. I think it needs to be read in balance with the Beatitudes about blessed are those who are persecuted, and verses in the New Testament about the benefits that come from trials and persecution. But we have, in our lives, seen this applied in a way that's maybe the more plainer reading of the verse. For a couple years, I have really kind of stressed out or been discontent with our living situation. And I think a lot of that was just kind of coveting what my peers and my coworkers have. A lot of the guys I work with just have different priorities in life, and they drive brand new trucks and live in nice neighborhoods, but they also have two income families and go into a lot of debt, and just most of them are not Christians and are not living, thinking about how they can glorify God with their life. And I would say it was probably, not last fall, but the fall before that, I had kind of gone through our finances and figured out what we would need to do in order for us to buy the kind of house we were thinking about. And I got pretty frustrated and discontent because the way I figured it out, I didn't see how we would ever be able to buy a house. And I was thinking maybe in 5 years, probably more like 10. And that's if we don't have a bunch more kids. And I was really discontent for a while and thinking, just discontent, thinking I really want to buy a house and I don't want to keep renting apartments forever. And I want to just have a better lifestyle, I guess. And then God convicted me about that. And I, last winter, really decided that was the wrong attitude and that I should be thankful for what God had provided, because we still have a lot more than most people ever have in the world. And that I really came to peace with the fact that if God wanted us, God just never provided for us to have a house or brand new cars or anything. If he just wanted us to rent and just live a little bit humbler lifestyle than I had initially wanted, that I can be content with that, because God will give us everything we need, and that God will do what's best for us, and that's not where I should find my comfort, my contentment anyways. I should find it in the Lord. And that brought a lot of peace to us, and that was last winter. And so for several months I was thinking, well, I'm not really going to focus on buying a house. I'm just going to just keep doing our thing, and we'll rent and be thankful for where we're at, and we'll keep saving a little bit at a time. And if we buy a house, we buy a house. But if we don't, I'm going to be okay with that. And then we got our stimulus checks from President Trump. And we were kind of thinking about how we wanted to spend that, and we wanted to make a wise decision. So it was whenever that was, probably February or March, I guess, of last year when we got those checks. And I told Grace Ann on Sunday when we had got those checks, let's not spend it right away. Let's pray about what we want to do with it. And just take some time. And then that Tuesday, 2 days later, I was in the locker room putting on my uniform for work, and my lieutenant walks up to me, who I typically don't talk to a whole lot, and just out of the blue, without us ever having a conversation about this kind of thing in the past, just says, huh? Okay, can you ask Mommy, please? Just says, I'm selling my dad's house. Would you be interested in buying it? I said, well, I don't know. And he told me more about it and what he was willing to sell it for. And yeah, it was amazing. And there was a lot of other things. Like, I'd been trying to get renter's insurance on our trailer, and I had called company after company after company, and I could not get anybody to call me back. And turns out we didn't need renter's insurance for that trailer. I didn't need to buy it. So just a lot of different things that we really saw God's hand in providing for us, and we're very thankful. And it was just reading that verse, it kind of came to life, because it was after we had intentionally decided that we're going to be at peace where we are and trust God and not even really desire to buy a house right now, that all of a sudden God just dropped one in our laps. It was really amazing. So I don't think God works like that all the time, but we're very thankful, and we just wanted to share how God blessed us with that.